Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
So I feel like I'm a kind of a local hero.
It's all fun on top.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm about to start winning some awards.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's the Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power, producing, engineering, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. All you can eat pancakes at IHOP through the 15th of September. So get out to IHOP. How are you? How was the show yesterday with David and Michael Hahn?
Thought it went great. Everybody thought it went great.
Well, who's everybody?
The three of us in the studio. Max.
Is Max
David,
ever going to say?
Michael Hahn.
Max is
and
so
me.
Checked out on this show. He couldn't care less. You know what Max wants?
Max cared a lot.
The 15th.
Max came on the air with us. He jumped
really?
On. He was involved. He was enthused. He was a participant.
What were the topics of discussion?
Oh, we talked about a lot of stuff.
Well, what was the highlight of the show?
Oh, we talked about some college football. We talked about...
How was our BYU guest?
He was great.
Greg Rubel. Rubel from BYU football.
Yeah, you misspelled his name, and then we had to... It was fine. It was fine.
You handled it.
Yeah, we did it. We did just fine.
Today on the show, we have Scott Springer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. We'll talk about the Bearcats. I'm only missing one team now, and that's Utah.
Uh-oh.
Having trouble nailing down. I think they think they're a little too good for the Big 12. Whoever it is that ultimately comes on our show, I'm going to let them have it.
Will it be somebody from the Deseret News?
I don't know. Whomever it is, I'm going to let them have it.
No, you're not, but that's fine.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
I'm going to talk to them.
You are not.
I'm going to break them into the Big 12 and how they need to conduct themselves.
Greg Rubel was fantastic. Who came into the Big 12 this year?
You don't know? Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State.
Yeah, I asked. I didn't explicitly say yesterday, hey, BYU's got first year in the Big 12, but I asked a question that kind of implied that that's...
Well, that's an embarrassing
yeah,
look.
Yeah, I thought they were...
That's what happens when I'm not here.
With Utah.
I just... That's what happens when I'm not here.
But he handled it. It was
He'll
all
never
good.
Come on this show again.
He said
probably,
he'd come on anytime.
He probably went to his family and said, what a... I'll never do that again, Jane, or whatever his wife said.
But he might have also been able to take it as, this is our second year. We're, you know, some things like that. It's all good.
Well, listen, anybody knows BYU's in their second year.
Not anybody. It's confusing.
Not to me, and I'm 70 years old or thereabouts. I'm not confused by it.
Well.
You know what I was confused by?
What?
My wife and I were in Kansas City the last couple of days, and we had a good time. But on the way back yesterday, we tried to get on 435, right?
Sure.
We're on Nall Boulevard. We had our appointment there. We expect just to jaunt over less than a mile, get on 435. 435. And but it's backed up. There's police at the entrance blocking the on-ramp.
Uh-oh.
So we had to go down, and we went. I'm very good. I'm tremendously gifted at navigating.
Yeah, because it's hard to continue going the same direction.
So I went down 110th Street till we got to Metcalf, a couple exits over, south, and tried to get on there. Backed up, couldn't get on. The there'd been an accident on 435, and a bad one, in which apparently. Now, I'll describe it as I describe my great efforts to get back.
What are you even talking about right now?
To get back to Wichita. Well, at that point, you start to say, what can I do here? So I got on 435 going the opposite direction, 435 east. I went up to 71 Highway and took that exit, and we traveled for miles and miles. And we finally got to 35, and it took us forever. And we hit a bottleneck in downtown Kansas City.
As you would.
Which is tremendously stressful, but we got it.
Why are you stressed out about it? Just relax.
Because there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, it's Kansas City. It happens. Probably the middle of the day, too.
And I did a fantastic job navigating that trip.
Sure. Sounds amazing.
I don't know if you wouldn't have known what to do.
I don't know if that's radio fodder. It was a little boring, but...
Great radio fodder. Yeah. Everything I say here is good radio fodder.
That was one of your worst efforts.
Why are you a negative?
Not being negative. I'm just calling it like it is.
Here's what I'm starting to feel, okay?
Okay.
I think you enjoy doing the show more with the David Michael Hans.
No, that's not true.
And the Jason Dudas.
Maybe.
And those people than you do with me.
I went after David Michael Hahn a few times.
No, I think you enjoy doing the show.
No, not really.
With those folks.
No, I don't think so.
More than you do me.
Nah.
And let me tell you what you and David Michael Hahn would do for this show. We'd be canceled so fast.
It's funny that you think that, but Tony was rushing to get David Michael Hahn some compensation. Said, I got more, David, and he went back, and here's more stuff. And
Tony's a wonderful supervisor.
Well, he must have done a pretty good job if he didn't just let David Michael Hahn walk out. He was falling over himself.
You could get an armadillo to do the show, and Tony would compensate them. Okay?
Okay, well, let's do that.
That's not to be seen as a.
But I'm saying it was like I got to get more. There's got to be more around here. It was unbelievable.
Well, I wish Tony took that attitude with me.
He doesn't,
frankly. I gotta give you more. You deserve. I'd love to hear those words.
Well, be a better negotiator.
I don't know why I'm not hearing those words, honestly. So Scott Springer at 2:25 will talk Bearcats football. At 2:45, Steve Martin, not the comedian, the football coach from Wichita Northwest, will join the show as we talk about him and his football fortunes with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, they should be good again this year, I would presume, because they're good every year. But we'll see.
You robbed Shelby Wehrman from Cheney yesterday, which is a terrible disservice to Shelby because... You two don't know anything about football.
We don't.
And
what do you know about football?
I was looking forward to getting him on.
Well, get him on then. We took care of it. You know, when you are not on the show, we still get guests.
Yeah, but they don't. I bet they think.
No, they don't care. They're just talking on the radio.
Here's what I bet they think.
No, they don't.
Why do you say it like that? Confidently. How do you know?
Because I just know.
They probably think, I'm with the JV today.
Well, maybe, fine. But he did the interview, he didn't complain, he didn't ask about you once, and we got him off the air. It was a pretty seamless process.
Well, that's too bad. He's a wonderful guy.
He was nice, but I'm just saying,
And I had great questions for him.
We had great questions. What questions did you have?
I'm going to save them for the next time
he's on. Even Michael Hahn prepared questions.
Really?
Which, you know.
What'd he have?
I don't know. He wrote down a bunch of questions.
Well, can you share one with me?
Not really. I don't really remember. But he wrote down his questions and kind of read them, which, you know, I tried to dissuade him from doing that, but it is what it is.
Well, you don't want to read your questions. But it's good to have questions.
Yeah.
So
I kind of just let the conversation flow, and if something gets said that is interesting, we'll follow up on that, and, you know.
I can't remember ever jotting down questions. I'm sure I did.
Of course you did. Everybody did when they were getting in.
When you go into a situation, I'm sure you jot down a few questions.
I used to do that a bunch.
Really?
Yeah, especially when I was interviewing guys for like longer stories.
Yeah, I think I did.
I tried not to refer to him.
I'm pretty sure I did that.
And then as time went by, I didn't refer to him. And then as time went by, I didn't even make notes.
Well, there's certainly reminders that you want to send yourself about the questions you have to ask.
Right.
You don't want to let one of those slip through the cracks.
No, but if you have to ask them, usually they'll be close to top of mind.
Usually, but there's times when what's close to top of mind is the first thing to leave your mind.
It's happened, I guess, before.
It happens with you all the time.
Not at all.
You're asking guys if BYU is in their first year.
That's not what I asked. I asked a question that made it sound like that's what I thought. But it also could have been taken a different way.
Are we doing a fantasy football league this year?
I hope not. But are we?
Really? You hope
I'm
not?
I'm so, like, over fantasy football, I think. I think I don't need it in my life anymore. I think I'm okay with it. I'm being done with it.
Well, isn't it a service we offer?
We can have one. I'm not going to object to it, but if we don't, I'm not going to be broken up about it.
Let's see what the response is today. Let's see if we hear from Commissioner Virgil.
Shannon Great wants in, of course.
Shannon Great has indicated he wants in. Rolando indicated today he wants in.
Seeing it last year?
Yeah. We're not having 12 teams, I'll tell you that right now.
That was tough last year.
We're only doing 10 if we do it. 869-1240. If somebody calls in this segment, which has 9 minutes left, and wants to play fantasy football in our league,
we're
going to
do it. Just one person?
I don't think I want to do the draft at my house anymore.
Well, we did it at Side Pockets last year.
We did?
Yeah.
Boy, it all runs together.
Remember,
thought we did it here.
So many people showed up, and we sat at tables, and everyone was at different tables, and we had to kind of shout our picks.
Yeah, that didn't work out that well.
But we'll do it at
Side Pockets. I didn't enjoy last year's fantasy football, and I'm to blame for it.
Because you invited too many people?
I did.
Well, write them down this year.
I thought I did last year.
Make sure we don't have, and if we have 12, we have 12.
I don't want 12.
Big deal.
12 detracts.
You get a winner, you get some losers.
There's no enjoyment in tweaking your team when you have 12 players. There's nobody available. There's no trades to be made. It's just not fun.
And if Virgil is listening, no more standard scoring. No one does that anymore. Let's move it along.
What do you mean standard scoring?
Where you don't get tenths of points for yards, and if a guy has 79 yards, he can just get 7 points. He should get 7.9. Let's enter the 21st century and play fantasy football as it's meant to be played.
Is that how everybody plays it
now?
Of
course. And I'm sure
he uses the ESPN model, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he does standard instead of the normal way. And standard is passé. And I'm sure every other league Virgil's in does not use standard scoring.
Why are you knocking Virgil?
I'm not knocking Virgil. I'm just saying we are adults, and we can handle, you know, the step up to modernized scoring in fantasy football. So you don't have to baby us.
Let's get to the phones. Tom is on. Hello, Tom.
Hello. I would love to win your fantasy league.
Well, Tom, you're going to have to give Max your information when you hang up here, okay?
I'll do it.
And we'll let you know. And I guess this means we're having fantasy football.
I guess so. That's all. That was the only requirement, one person calling.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
There you go. I got Tom. Anything else?
No, I just turned on just as you was talking about fantasy. Just like I hadn't heard the rest of your show.
Okay.
Yeah, you missed
Thank
a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. Go back on the Odyssey app and listen. I think they've got that app now so refined that you can just punch in, I just want to hear Bob, and they'll take care of that.
Would you relax?
Thanks, Tom. Why are you so easy to tweak?
Because, I mean, it's just
Here I go again. I'm going to have this laughing thing.
Just the same thing over and over. Get some new material.
I'm going to have this laughing thing.
Have it.
You know what? Here's the thing that you're walking on thin ice about. You keep ripping me like I'm no good at this anymore.
No, you're fine, but I just want...
Your inference is that I'm not very good.
You're fantastic.
Not inference. What's the right word I'm looking for?
Implication.
Yeah, your implication is that this guy's past his prime.
Well, humor-wise...
There's nothing a good...
You might be.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. A little. We hear the same stuff.
Oh, you and David Michael Hahn get together smoking cigars. Boy, I wish... Bob's not very funny anymore, is he?
I don't smoke cigars.
Well, I saw him smoking cigars with somebody.
Well, he's a classy guy. He's one of those guys.
I presumed he was smoking them with you.
No, I don't do that.
And I'm sure there's, you know, these little whispers going on.
There are.
I wonder what this would be without Bob. Maybe we could do it, David Michael Hahn.
I don't know.
And David Michael Hahn answers probably, yeah, no.
David Michael Hahn needs a little more experience. And maybe, you know, he's one of my best friends. He needs a little more knowledge.
Uh-oh, now you've ruined that friendship.
No, I don't think so.
If somebody told me I needed more knowledge
of sports,
I'd punch him.
Of sports. I think he needs a little more sports knowledge.
That's why we're working on these people.
Yeah, just, you know, we're carrying them along.
Here's Dino. Welcome, Dino. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Okay.
So,
what do you
football?
Have?
You were calling me. Yeah. If you get a car about, you know, I'd be interested if you guys are having it.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, Dino, why are you backing off now? You don't want in our league?
No. I want Dino in our league. How do you spell it? D-I-N-O or D-E-A-N-O?
He told us it's D-I-N-O.
Yeah.
All right.
Some people actually pronounce it Dino.
Yeah, he's a dinosaur.
Okay. give your information to Max. And we'll be in touch.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
So,
by my count, we already have seven.
Seven?
Tom, caller, you, me, Shannon, Dino, Virgil, and I suppose Dude is wanting
to play. I'm sure he'll play.
What about David Michael Hahn?
Well, put him down.
What about the big fella?
If they want to be in, they can be in, I guess.
That would only leave one opening.
We can only have so many. You know, I think you, me, and Duda from the show is probably enough.
We're the main. Well,
I'm the main.
why are you trying to predict what I'm going to say?
I saw you trying to come up with something else to say.
Well, I started to say it, but you've got me gun shy now.
Good.
I don't know that I'll be that guy anymore.
What is that guy?
Oh, the kind of fully confident guy.
Is that way? That confidence?
Thinks he has good abilities and.
Well, we all think you have good abilities. The abilities are still there. It's just, you know, can you still get the bunt down when it's called? Can you still take an extra base when we need it?
Hasn't this been my MO since I started radio?
What?
Almost 20, what year now? 20,
I know, but
1998?
There were some things that you could do in 98 that, like I said, can you still get that bunt down?
Well, now do I not have that capability?
I'm not sure.
Can I not get the bunt down?
Can you go field
a
ball in the hole?
Do people not want to hear My confidence.
Can he go field a ball in the hole still? These are things that we're still hoping you have. We don't think that you've lost them completely, but there are fading skills.
Get Duda and see if he still wants to do fantasy football.
Okay.
And if he doesn't, then we can reach out to the big fella.
Okay.
What are you saying okay about?
Because I said K, like Duda does.
So we got to figure out then when to have the draft, and I got to get all that organized. And
a lot to do.
And we'd probably need to do the draft sometime next week, right?
Or the week after.
Yeah, probably the week after.
I'm working a bunch at WinSurge, so maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Possible.
We'll have to make sure Virgil's on board. Virgil, without Virgil, we got nothing.
I'm sure someone.
No.
Can start a league.
No, don't. And listen.
In fact, I know millions of people.
No, and if you're going to get buttons on Virgil, I'm gonna be upset with you.
Why?
Because he's our long-standing.
Well, where are you, Virg?
I'm going to text him in the break. We'll take the break right now. Scott Springer joins us next. We will talk University of Cincinnati football as we continue Big 12 previews. They've lasted forever, but when you got 16 teams, that's what's going to happen. Cincinnati football next, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Scott Springer joins us from the Cincinnati Inquirer. He covers University of Cincinnati athletics, including a football season that begins very shortly. Hello, Scott. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on? I'm actually standing outside the arena by the Oscar Robertson statue, and I recall he had a game or two in the old roundhouse there.
He was pretty good wherever he went, but set some records here in Wichita during his time. Yes, that's pretty impressive. So we've been talking Big 12 football here for a while, and virtually everybody we talk to covers a team that seems to have some hope to be in the mix for the top spot in this conference. Does Cincinnati have any hopes like that? And if not, why not?
Well, I don't think they're in the upper echelon of it at all. He's the guy you need to see, not me. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm outside the arena. People want me to get him in the door. It's like, I don't work here. All right, yeah. I don't think they're in the upper echelon. That'd be extremely unfair after a 3-9 season and their first year in the Big 12. I do think they're a lot better. I project them like a lot of people. I think they can win 6 and get to a bowl game, and that would probably be cause for celebration because they haven't been to one since the college football playoff in 2021. But you know, that was with Luke Fickell and a lot of NFL type players, and then some of his later recruiting classes weren't quite up to snuff. He had a coaching change, and then he had to jump leagues from AAC to Big 12, and so they had a 3-9 season. Quite honestly, they easily could have won 3 more, but they didn't. And so now you're trying to, you know, get back to where you'd like to have your program. And I do think they have the chance to win at least six and get to a bowl game. But beyond that, you know, the league is there's a lot of parity in the league, and everyone's in the same situation. Cincinnati has 47 new scholarship players, and a lot of schools are in the same boat. So you're taking all your guys and trying to take a bunch of eyes and turn them into we's, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Cincinnati has dipped deep into the transfer portal to get many skill players offensively, including its quarterback, defensively as well, to try to shore up that unit. Is that just the new normal, not only in college football, but especially kind of for Cincinnati? Are they going to be building teams this way with just dozens of new guys every year?
Well, for the short term, I think, yeah. I think ideally you'd like to, you know, grab guys through high school. But here's your deal. You redshirt a kid anymore, and they might up and leave. And then all you've done is develop someone else's player. So they do have some outstanding young high school talent. Some of these guys are going to play. But, yeah, you have to go through the portal and hope you find somebody that's a mix for your program. And it's ultra competitive because, you know, Cincinnati's in a unique place. There's, you know, Reds and Bengals and pro sports here in addition to college football, whereas if you go to, like, a Stillwater, Oklahoma State's the only thing going on. So and there's no T. Boone Pickens here. Some rich folks, but nothing like that. So you got to find ways to compete. The guys that they got, they seem to be more on the same page. They got rid of some guys last year that they didn't think were. So they just came back from a training camp. They're one of the few schools that actually takes the kids away. There's a place just over the state line in Indiana where they take them and they have them away for 2 weeks and feed them good, and they're out in the woods, and it's just football. So they like what they've seen from that, from a team perspective. Now, how does this translate onto the field? Schedule looks favorable early on, first four games, but there again, none of them were pushovers. And then your first Big 12 game was against Houston, which was their only Big 12 win last season at Houston. So, I think they can win. I think they're better, but everyone else is doing the same thing, trying to get better. So I'm hesitant to say that they're going to win any more than six. They could. I don't think they're going to be 3-9 again. On the other hand, I don't think they're going to win 10.
Scott Springer, our guest, veteran reporter from the Cincinnati Inquirer. We're talking Bearcats football, part of our Big 12 previews. You know, in this day and age, now with an expanded Big 12, which is up to 16 teams, the days of the full round robin are over. So your schedule is dependent upon who you play. I think most are mentioning Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Utah, and Arizona as being the five teams that maybe are getting the most run in the Big 12. Of those five, the only Cincinnati game against one of those is at Kansas State coming up in late November. It's a favorable schedule, Scott.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't play Utah. You don't play Arizona. You get Arizona State, who comes here. They only won three games last year. And Kansas State, that'll be on the road in Manhattan. I haven't been to Manhattan in about 30 years, but I know it's a tough place to play. That's what we've said. That schedule-wise, it works out pretty well for them. It's just, you know, you have to deliver and follow through and win your games in the red zone. Go ahead. I'll be up. I'm sorry.
You're wearing a red jacket today? You're getting a lot of people wanting help.
Yeah. Well, they built a new football facility, and there's a press conference going on shortly here, so I guess they want me to attend it. But we have another guy up there, so we're good.
There you go.
Does being in the Big 12 – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just was saying I don't know why suddenly I'm so important here. It's usually I'm not, but I'm sitting in the wrong place today.
So does being in the Big 12 make it more likely that Cincinnati can, you know, maybe they don't maybe they're not a top four team. Maybe they can get into the 12-team playoff, but does it make it more likely that they're that level of a program than being in the AAC and really having to fight really hard for it? Is a bigger conference, you know, make it more likely that they can do that?
Well, it should, yeah, because, I mean, the money that they're getting, I think they're a full share member next year. So you go from, I think it was AAC was $7, $8 million, and then to what they are proposed to get next year, and you've, like, quadrupled the money that the school gets. Now, on the other hand, every school is now going to have to, because of the house deal, set aside a boatload of money to effectively pay some guys. So they have to figure out a way to manage their money and everything. But, they like where they're at competitively. The basketball team has had a great recruiting year. They think they're possibly a top 25 team. The football team looks like they could go to a bowl. So things are looking up that way. But, if I had a crystal ball, they had Big 12 media days in Vegas, and I don't gamble. So if I knew what I was doing, I would have laid down serious money there. But I don't do that. So I don't know. Without evading the question, I'm just being honest. It's tough to say because it's such a tough league, and games that you think are very winnable. You know, like West Virginia last year was picked dead last, and out of 14, and they won 9 games and went to a bowl game. So everybody was wrong on that. So the preseason stuff is nice for us to all chat about, but in the end, it often doesn't really measure up to what everyone thought.
Talking Cincinnati football, Scott Springer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. So what needs to click on the field with the personnel for the Bearcats to show significant improvement? Who needs to play well? What areas need to get a lot better?
Well, mainly defense. Offensively, they've had Scott Satterfield's offenses, if you go back to even Louisville and here, typically they average 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing. So pretty balanced. They ran the ball effectively. I think actually it was 217 yards per game, which was number 5 in the country running the ball. So they were able to do that. The throwing game, I think, has improved. They have all their offensive line back, and they have better wide receivers and a better tight end room, in my opinion. But defensively, they've had one of the guys, Dante Corleone, they call him the Godfather for obvious reasons, but he's had a blood clot issue in June, and so until they get him squared away, we don't know right now if he's going to play. He's been practicing in a limited capacity, but if he plays and is ready to go, he's a big difference maker. But if he doesn't, then you're down a starter, and then another guy that was going to be a starter on the line is out, so some guys have to step up there. And then they got a whole bunch of new defensive backs that all played at higher levels, and they seem to be better. But again, these are guys that weren't on your team last year. So can you coach them up? Can they get it done? So far, it looks like they're all better, but they need to improve in the defensive backfield. And they switched defenses. They're in a 3-3-5 formation now. They got Tyson Veit, who was at Iowa State, and he was the linebackers coach there, but he's the new defensive coordinator. The kids seem to like the defense, the way they can fly around and do everything. So I think they'll be better. I think the offense is going to be fine. They need to score in the red zone more than they did last year. That was another issue, not coming through with touchdowns sometimes. So plenty of room to improve, but honestly, I think they're middle of the pack right now. I could be surprised. But hopefully they do well and they build upon it, and the facility they're dedicating like right now is a nice new indoor type place because the weather here is not picture perfect every day of the year, so it's nice to have a place where you're away from a thunderstorm, a snowstorm, or whatever, because they've been practicing in the open at Nippert Stadium, and before this facility they had a bubble, but this is a big structure, and they use it in recruiting and getting kids here. So we'll see what happens. You got to win some games, and then and you got to have nice stuff. And anymore, the kids, that probably the second question in their recruitment is how much. We're in a new era.
Second, that's got to be the first, doesn't it, in today's world?
Well, I was being polite. It depends on the kid, probably, yeah. I think they're probably looking for somebody that's more concerned about longer term goals. But yeah, because if the first thing they're saying is how much, and then they come and then they turn around and leave for someone else that offered more, and that has happened here and has happened elsewhere. That's just the unfortunate part of it. But
Our first question, Scott, would have been, how's the English department, right? If we had this opportunity.
Well, yeah. I was in the hall of mediocrity of every school I went to. So, wherever I could nail down that C and get out, I was solid.
Well, thank you for your thoughts on Cincinnati football. I appreciate the reference to Oscar Robertson. He still holds the single-game scoring record here in Wichita at Coke Arena all these years later. So thanks for mentioning him, and thanks for breaking down the Bearcats.
I have one of his jerseys hanging in my basement, but it's from the Cincinnati Royals, who then turned around and went to Milwaukee, and I became a Bucks fan that year. Because I like the Big L.
There you go. Thank you again, Scott. Always appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks. Scott Springer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Here's Coach Steve Martin from Northwest as we continue previewing football teams here in the middle of August. It's not long. Coach, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. We always love talking high school football. I know you haven't obviously played any games yet, but it's just a matter of your quality, really, from year to year. How good do you hope to be?
Well, I think, our expectations are always to try to put ourselves in a situation to be playing for a state title. And, this squad is a lot grown up. The past couple of years, we've been playing a lot of younger kids. Last year, we started 12 sophomores and a couple freshmen at a time. And 2 years ago, we started, some of these sophomores, six of them started as freshmen. So, we've been through a couple growing pains. This class is talented. But, when you're lining up against seniors and, there's a big difference in body style. So, we feel like we are very talented, and we feel like we have a team that we can win this thing with.
I know you, I'm sure you go into each season, having tweaked a few things here and there. But generally speaking, when you are as good as you are every year, is it more about reinventing yourself every year, and not every year, but occasionally, and keeping things fresh, or is it just sticking to the things that you've always done well?
Well, I think you always got to have something that every year to add on. We've revamped our offense and our defense a little bit this summer to fit more of our, kids that we have in our program. And so, it'll be the same things you're going to see, but maybe a different, a different attack or a different look than we've been doing. But, for the same thing, you got to be able to run the football and be able to stop the run in November to have a chance to be in that state championship game or at least play deep into November. So, the focus is still there on the running game, and, that's where we look to hang our hat on.
Steve Martin is our guest, Wichita Northwest head football coach. They're coming off a 7-3 season in 2023. They lost to Wichita East in the playoffs. We know Wichita East is going to be good again. We expect Capen to be pretty solid again. I would look for Bishop Carroll to maybe rebound some. How's the league look to you overall?
Yeah, I think, there's a lot more parity. Things are starting to get a little bit evened out a little bit, maybe around the city. So, you have – Coach Millison over there at Southeast, who I've heard has had a great summer with his kids at Southeast. I think over at North, they're improving by keeping kids out and stuff like that. So, I think you hit it on the head, nail on the head. I know Cape and East are going to be very good. Capen, of course, Carroll, is always a formidable opponent. You don't ever think they're going to be able to be, if they are going to be down, you don't think that they're going to be, down very long. And, I know Heights has to replace a big senior class that they depended on, but, those are great tradition schools, and, you know, I look for them to be, you know, significant opponents for people. So should be a fun year in the city.
So, you know, you like you said, you played a lot of sophomores last year, even some freshmen, and I guess probably the younger you get, the more you don't necessarily know what you're going to get from those players. So what surprised you positively from seeing some of those younger guys play this year, and maybe what do you expect to see different as far as their improvements this year?
Well, the number one thing is, you know, maturity, a maturity level. You know, sophomores, it's just a proven fact. They're not as mature as a 18, 17-year-old senior. So, you know, when things would go bad, it was hard to get off. You know, we talk about getting off the wave, riding the waves of momentum. It was always hard for those guys to get off. When things went bad, it would be something that would keep on adding up. So, you know, we've done a lot of stuff in the weight room and stuff, some mental training, a lot of leadership training and stuff like that to equip these guys better. And, you know, that's what we've really had fun. We thought this winter that we needed to get the right people in the right positions on the boat, and we needed to get some kids off the boat that maybe were not Grizzlies, you know, so to speak, that they weren't here and that we is better than me mentality. And so, you know, we like where we're at. We had a great summer. Our kids are gelling. You know, we just came through this week waiting for practice to start on Monday. But, you know, these guys are biting up the chomp to get out there and start playing some football right now, because, you know, the conditioning stuff, the stuff that we put them through, I think is going to pay off. And I think they're just ready to be able to get out there and see how their new bodies and new style is going to fit them.
Steve Martin, our guest, Wichita Northwest. So let's hear some of the names from some of the players that you're depending on to really help you. Who are some of the guys that we should be aware of, Steve?
Well, I think a lot of people know our quarterback, Jalen Mason, is going to be a junior. He's gotten some offers from Iowa State and KU and Liberty, and there's, you know, schools such as Missouri and Texas A&M and Northwestern and schools like that looking at him. So, you know, with being a 6'2", 205-pound kid at the quarterback position, you know, throwing and running, you know, is going to be a formidable challenge for a lot of people. And, you know, you look at it, he brings back a receiver and Chase Carter, who's 6'3", 200 pounds, and that's a big target that can run and go up and get footballs. And, you know, the big thing is that we felt like our offensive line grew up a year. We lost two offensive linemen in the off season and late in the summer to knee injuries, and we didn't have those guys. So those guys are coming back, and Gabe Contreras, and those guys are going to be good. You know, we got returning Maddox McGinnis up front, who's got an Iowa State offer as a freshman last year. So we got some guys up front. This might be one of our biggest lines we've ever had here. So we hope that means, you know, we're stronger up front and we're able to move people. So, you know, I think it all starts up front with those guys. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got Brady Johnson, who's going to be a three-year starter coming back, suffered a knee injury, a torn ACL back in the Manhattan game. You know, at the time we were leading the ball game there when he went out, and you got him back to lead the front three, you know, front four. We're going to be multiple more on defense this year. And, you know, you got some guys there that are unproven, but man, we're excited to have them. They're kind of those guys that we knew we're going to be able to count on later on. But, you know, and those guys are just blanketed by tremendous linebackers. Linebackers, Jamari Bland will be a second-year starter as a junior. He's starting to get some interest. He has really transformed his body in the offseason. And then you have John Michael Fountain, who as a freshman is just a freaky athlete, big twitchy kid. And, you know, he's got 7 Division I offers, and, you know, he's playing very well, and he looks really good right now. You know, offset with that, with Quavon Harris and D'Anthony Rivera in the back four, you know, we're excited about where we are, and these kids are working hard, and they're doing a great job leading and being great teammates.
So, you know, I've asked other coaches this, but, you know, you got a lot of Division I recruits now. You've had a lot of Division I recruits and players in the past. So how has it changed? How has your involvement in that process changed now that there's NIL? And do you feel like your input is as valued to kids and families who might be looking for something different just than where they fit best as football players?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I'd highly suggest people, you know, they got to go where they fit. You know, you can't change, you know, if you want to go play college football you can't always look at the NIL and who's, you know, who's offering what and all that stuff, because you're going to have to go there and live there, and you're going to have to be comfortable in your own skin on that campus. You know, I think if you ever interview Breece Hall, I think, you know, Breece felt maybe under-recruited at the time, but, you know, Ames, Iowa was a perfect place for him to mature and grow up as a player. And, you know, he's been able to take that with him to New York, you know, and have success last year coming off his injury. But, the big thing for me is, number one, our job as coaches, I believe, is to get our kids in front of coaches and give our kids a chance. If you're not putting your kids in front of people, shame on you. That's what it's all about. I know Keisha talks about building strong leaders and stuff, but, you know, for my kids, I want to get my kids out of Wichita. I want to show them that there's a bigger world out there. So there's a reason why my staff and myself focus a lot on recruiting and getting our kids out of here, because we want to give our kids opportunities to get their college paid for. If they can come out of college debt-free, that's my ultimate goal for these guys. And so any of the time the kids ask me, Coach, what I think, I said, which school's going to pay for your schooling? And so that's my advice to my guys has always been is, you know, number one, are they going to pay for your school? What's your academic package look like, you know, with money and all that stuff? And number two, it's where do you fit? Where do you see yourself playing? Because, you know, some kids don't fit at every program.
So let's get down to real business. Roman Reigns just came back to SmackDown, and now your Fridays are about to be spoken for. How mad are you about that?
Well, hey, if you've been looking, I believe when it goes over to Netflix, Roman Reigns will be on Raw, is what I hear. So I'm not.
Seems like it. Yes.
I can record it. It can go on my YouTube TV. I can record it and watch it on Saturday mornings. You know.
There you go.
Let's.
I was wondering when it was coming.
Football.
I knew a question was coming.
Yeah. Well, Jeff will always get you with that.
I always will.
Yeah.
I did have one other question as it pertains to coaching in high school, with the changes now, with the transfer portal, NIL. How has it affected high school football, if at all, and what are you expecting in the future with that?
Well, number one, we're seeing it affect. The transfer portal is the biggest thing. You know, what we're seeing is, you know, because most college coaches feel like their jobs are on the line. You know, that's just when you're paying someone $9 million, you know, they expect results now. And so, you know, you look at it, such as Deion Sanders at Colorado. He doesn't recruit high school kids unless they are elite athletes that can play right now. We found a clip the other day. I think it was Matt Rhule that said, if these kids, you know, as high school coaches, if our kids are not prepared to come in and compete right away, there's a great chance that they're not going to get recruited at that Division I level, because they can jump in the portal and go grab maybe a kid from, you know, Northwest Missouri State, like Oregon did, and brought in one of their top running backs. And so they can go grab this kid right now who's a little bit more mature. He's already taken college classes. They don't have to worry about him getting homesick or the discipline issue. So it has really affected high school recruiting. That's why we're so proactive on our end to get our kids looked at when they're freshmen and sophomores and juniors, because if you're waiting until they're junior and senior year to get your kids in front of people, it's over. And so, the NIL thing, I don't know if that's going to affect too much on the high school level. You know, there's only so much we can do. That's something that I would not want to get in myself. But, you know, talking to some guys up in the KC metro area, you know, some kids don't know how to handle that. So, you know, we try to bring on those conversations as these guys get to their junior and senior year and the offers become more sticking. You know, just because you get offered as a freshman or sophomore does not mean that offer is going to be there for you to commit on. And so, you know, as it starts to get real serious and kids want to start narrowing their list and making things, you know, a little bit more interesting than that, then that's where, you know, you have to talk about that, because, you know, I think if you leave that off the table, sometimes you're undervaluing yourself. But, you know, in the high school level, I just don't see that yet. I don't foresee us having to deal with that. We might have to be better educated when dealing with colleges when they come talk to our guys. That's where I can see it affect us more, if we've had experience in dealing with that and helping our kids navigate that road. Is where maybe I might go, but you know, right now I haven't seen that so far.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. This will not be the last time we have you on during the high school football season. Best of luck. Practices begin on Monday as we prepare for another high school football season. Steve Martin, Wichita Northwest. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks. All right, Steve Martin. We'll be back. We've got another hour left. We'll talk some baseball, maybe some more football, but I'm footballed out. We're still looking for one or two to play in our 10-person fantasy
league.
Did
Virgil
league.
Get with you?
He's going to call. Virgil,
oh, he
will,
is.
We'll hear from Virgil coming up in the next segment.
About 355?
310.
Oh, okay.
Anything from Duda?
No, not yet. He's probably on the course or doing something.
Lightning.
No, it's beautiful out.
Really?
Yeah, look at it.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were having storms earlier. All right, we'll be back. Bob and Jeff.